I love when somebody takes like a preparatory class and is able to actually use it. Like you see people doing the Heimlich, or you think you would know, but how many of us really encounter somebody who we can help and save their life? If you take CPR and not enough people do, how many of us actually are able to use it? Well, I love this story because Sandy McNeil was able to use it. Sandy is from Fredericton, which is in New Brunswick, Canada. He's on the phone with us now, vacationing in Florida. Is it nice and sunny and beautiful as we interrupt you at the beach?
It's far nicer here than it is at home, yes.
There you go. You've got to walk our listeners through what was going on because, you know, while you don't want to be called a hero and you want to draw attention to the importance of knowing CPR, I think you walking us through what happened and how you moved in is going to help us out a lot.
Sure. So I actually was out walking one morning, early in the morning, a couple of days after we got down to Florida, and took a walk up the intercoastal along the side of the road on the high sidewalk, and as myself and the person I was walking with approached kind of a little tree off to the side, a lady came out from behind it and was hollering to see if asked if either of us knew CPR. So she was probably 30 yards away maybe, and so I started running because people don't just ask that.
Right.
So I started running up, and behind kind of the tree that was hiding things was a gentleman who had obviously collapsed on the ground. There was another person kneeling over him at that time, another man. And so I moved up. I asked if the fellow there, kind of asked what happened. And they said he just collapsed. The fellow who had been running with him, and Tom was the guy's name, was who had collapsed, they had been running, obviously, just by their clothes, said they stopped to take a selfie. He turned away to put his phone away, and when he came back, when he turned back around, Tom had had just collapsed. The fellow that was kneeling over him said he didn't have a pulse. So I asked if anybody had called 911. His running partner was on the phone with 911 at the time, and so I started doing CPR.
So you're doing Are you doing the staying alive? That's how I remember. You're like and each beat of that song, you're supposed to do a press compression. How did you do it?
My experience with CPR classes probably is 20 years long. I've taken it at work. Back in the days, I used to work with electricity, so we all had to have CPR as part of that
right.
being on that crew. And so it's pretty well ingrained in me. I think the last one I took, you do 30 compressions, and you just do compressions, no mouth to mouth.
Right.
If you only have one person there that's comfortable, then you just do compressions, and that's what I did. I did compressions for what felt like forever, but it was probably 6 or 7 minutes, I guess, until the firefighters got there. So we listened to the sirens come again for what seemed like forever. But while I was doing that, it was just one and two and three and four and five and six and seven.
Right.
On and on and on and on.
Right. Yeah. And so, all right. So he gets loaded up. They use the AED, yes?
On the side of the road, and they got his heart. One of the firemen said that they did get his heart started before they loaded him in the ambulance. Yes,
amazing.
Now
it was great.
Now you have to tell me. Mm. So from where you live in Canada to where you're vacationing, I mean, if you were to drive it, it's about 27 hours, about 1,800 miles. So,
just about exactly.
Right. I do my research, my man. Tell me, how did you find the connection between you and him? Because this is the kicker in my mind.
So the person that was with me walking asked if there's anything she could do, and Tom's running partner was trying to get a hold of their whole group. And so can you call, I'm not sure who he was calling, who he asked her to call, but when he gave her the number, it was the same area code as mine, as New Brunswick. So I thought, uh-oh. So it was a long ways to come to run into a fellow Canadian, a fellow New Brunswicker, fellow Fredericktonian. He probably doesn't live 3 miles from my house.
Isn't that amazing?
Do you realize the scope of it? Do you realize you saved his life? Did it sink in?
Well, at that time, I mean, listen, I'd like to say I'm a realist, but I'm probably a little bit of a pessimist. And I mean, the man's heart hadn't been going, so I didn't have anything to lose. And everything to gain. And I'm really glad that I had the training to do that. But, I mean, he was in the ambulance. I had no idea how long it had been since he had collapse. So I was just hopeful that he would be okay.
Have you talked to him?
I did. We met him about, so he was in the hospital. That was like a Thursday. I think he was discharged from the hospital 4 or 5 days later after having an operation. He had 4 or 5 days of restrictions. And so, yeah, but not the following Sunday, but the Sunday after, we met to have a drink and say hello because we had never met. He was unconscious the whole time I saw him. And, it's funny. I live in a city of about 60,000 people. And I worked for his wife 30 years ago.
Oh, that's beautiful,
what?
Man.
And we have a lot of commonalities. We've gone to a couple of the same events in town that we know of, and different places, or know some of the same people. So it's really...
Lifelong friends now. You guys are lifelong friends.
Probably.
I absolutely love what you did. And thank you, Sandy McNeil, taking a few minutes out of your life to share your beautiful story and to remind all of us that the CPR training, take it, it works.
Take it. It makes you feel so much better when something like this happens.
Oh. Thanks, Andy.
There's no worse feeling than feeling useless.
Amen to that. Enjoy your time, and thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Take care. Oh, told you it was good.
Good.